Blog Talk Radio.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We're going to do something a little bit different. I have Patricia is on the line with me. Good morning, Patricia. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I hear you well. We're doing things a little bit different. I'm going to ask you to kind of take it away this morning for a few minutes, and then I'll be joining you in just a little bit. So, good morning, all Omega Radio listeners, Blog Talk family. Let's get ready for a great program. Patricia, what's on your heart today?
Well, the Bible says that we are to be people that know what we're doing. And I am very, very enthralled with a scripture of the last days. And it is the scripture that when Paul spoke, "How then shall we be in the coming of these days?" And it's always on my heart, how then shall we be because of the times we're in? And I remember tucked away in the Old Testament, and it just came upon my heart as of recent, is the verse that describes how we ought to be living in times like these. And it dawned on me, it's in Chronicles 12:32, and it dawned on me that this scripture has been kept tucked away and quiet. But it describes the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. And so we can look at that and understand that we also are in those times of what we need to do as what Israel should have done then. God doesn't change. And people who are living in the last times are people who understand the times. And this is why we are on radio bringing forth the prophetic word about the times that we're in as much and as often as we possibly can, because prophecy is the very bedrock of the truth of God's heart for the time in which we live. So I went back, and I noticed that the sons of Issachar knew what was happening in their nation. They were not ignorant of it. They weren't in darkness like so many so-called Christians are today. They knew that there was a shift in the political winds, and they understood the moral and spiritual climate of their nation, as we are trying to project. And we need to be the same way today. We need to have our finger on the pulse of what is happening in this country and in this world, morally, spiritually, and politically. We cannot put our heads in the sand. And so many are. And so it's a cry of your heart, Omega Radio, to be a watchman on the wall, to speak of what those things are and the prophetic that has the heart of God for these times. And one of my favorite verse in the Bible is in Daniel 11:32, which says, "The people who know their God will display strength and take action." And God has called us not just to understand the times, but to do something. We need to take action. We need to do something. When good men do nothing, evil rules. This has been said oftentimes, but it's so we don't know what to do or how to do. And so I believe that Omega Radio is that encouragement for the times we're in of what we could do and how we could do and to live as we should. I would like to present that back to you to see what you feel about it.
Well, first of all, I think it's an absolutely amazing insight to this moment, and I think it's truly led by the Holy Spirit. You would consider the sons of Issachar, the seers, the knowers of what was happening in their generation, and what a magnificent presentation, quite frankly, really blessed my heart and caused my spirit to leap for joy that we can see through the smoke and mirrors, we can see through the fog, and recognize that in the world in which we live, Babylon is building her tower. Once again, the builders of Babylon are building their tower, but this time God says he's going to let it go to its zenith. And so rather than coming down confounding the language like in Genesis chapter 10, he's telling us in Scripture in the book of Revelation that Babylon will become. And so we look around the world in which we live from city to city, from nation to nation, and we see the builders of the global one-world empire. And the sons of Issachar are seeing it. They're understanding it. They're declaring it. And one of the things yesterday that we talked about was the wealth, the economic system of Babylon, how it will make everyone rich in the days ahead, and we need to be careful of that. At the same time, we need to be wise as the sons of Issachar right now to know what to do with our wealth while we are in this moment witnessing what's going on. The body of Christ is going to have to do something together, whether it's the bartering, whether it's coming together and preparing places of habitation for the last days. But I'm going to step out for just a moment, Patricia. Excellent. Please continue on.
Well, the Bible says we are to be people of courage. And God wants us to be fearless as we stand for him. And I believe there are too many Christians and others that are not Christians that are fearful, too fearful in the times we are. So they ignore in the church and outside of the church the truth of what's going on, even though it's before our ears, before our face, to be able to see and to be able to hear. So are you ready to stand for him? Am I ready to stand for him, regardless of the cost? You know, people are speaking everywhere. Persecution is coming. So are you really ready for it? Are you ready to witness it? Even if it doesn't come near you, you will be witnessing it. You are witnessing it even now when you go on social media and see the horrific things that are going on that are so impossible to believe they're really happening. But, you know, sadly, most Christians aren't. If they hear the possibility of suffering or persecution, then they run off. They run for the exit of the church. They don't want to hear about it. And they hide under the bed, and they are fearful of suffering. But Jesus said, get ready. Persecution is coming. And are you ready to suffer for Christ? And people who are living in the last days need to be people of hope that we could go through it, and we will go through it. We need to be people of insight to understand the things that are happening so we know how to pray. We have to be people of courage to get the word of God into our spirit and continue to speak the word of God, that he is our protector. Psalms 91 speaks all about it. Read it. Make yourself familiar with its meaning to the nth degree, because it is putting on your armor is what it is doing. Instead of running for the hills, instead of being afraid for the ministers to speak the truth in church or even to hear the truth from another, it is time to rise up, body of Christ. It is time to be strong. It is time to be a warrior of Jesus Christ, the army of the living God.
Well, amen to that again, Patricia. I want to go back to a message that we ministered on Sunday out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 concerning the resurrection. And the Apostle Paul said that if there is no resurrection, then he said the vanity of our existence is incredible. We're the most miserable people on this earth as far as believing that Jesus Christ is the way and truth and life. But what he said was, if Christ is not risen, then we are false witnesses of God, because we have testified that there is a resurrection. And I think we're living at an hour where for so long in our generation, people have heard wolf again and again, and time has passed and nothing really has taken place, 20 years, 30 years. And so now the cry is going out again, and it seems to be louder. And if it's not true, if what we've been saying and multitudes of others, if it weren't true, we would be found false witnesses of God. But Paul comes out and he says, but Christ is risen. And we declare today, but it is true. Babylon is building. She's putting the final touches on her tower. She's going to get plugged in, and the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of this earth is going to commence. And we are to be making ourselves ready, because the people that have heard wolf and have been tired of hearing this message, they don't want to do this anymore. They don't want to get involved and put their passion, energy into preparation for the things that are coming. And so we are going to remain, because we look around, like you said, the sons of Issachar have eyes to see that we are in these days, and they are real, and it's happening fast, faster than at any other time I've ever known in my short stay upon the earth. And it's Bible prophecy being fulfilled. So I don't believe we're false witnesses of God. I believe that everything that we're talking about is happening, and even faster and beyond what we even know.
Well, you're in the seat of Babylon right now. You're in New York City. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Are
we
you
are
there?
Sitting in the airplane at LaGuardia.
At LaGuardia. And soon you're going to see this true movement of Babylon, though it's all over the world, but it starts in a certain place, and we believe that it is in New York City, and we're not alone. Many people believe that. And so you're going to be looking and seeing and discovering many things while you're there. And so we are to be great people of hope, because the things that you're going to look upon are going to be pretty devastating at times. I pray that the Lord gives you that divine wisdom and insight that is needed to present it back to us that are listening. And it's easy to look at the world today and get discouraged. So don't get discouraged while you're out there.
No, I won't get discouraged, but we are walking into a hotbed right now of tension that's rising out here. You saw the policemen yesterday that were being hosed down with water in Harlem, and there's just an intense spirit in New York City with AOC, I think her name is, or Cortasio, whatever her name is, and in the squad, and there's a tension. And my hope is that a radio station is going to open the door to our message into New York. And my hope is that we're going to meet a few people while we're here that will be intrinsic to the work that we want to accomplish. So with our time, with my grandson being here, we're going to move about for a couple of days, and hopefully God's going to open up some doors. And I sure would appreciate the prayers of all the saints out there. And there are a lot of saints in New York City. David Wilkerson's church with Carter Conlon is here, and there's just saints everywhere. But I think our end time message has to get into New York City, and I believe that there's an open door here for a radio program. I'm going to explore it. I'm going to check it out, and I'll certainly be reporting back on that.
Well, I recall that we were once in the vicinity on radio before, way back many years, and I think maybe 20. I'm not sure of that, but not in New York, but across in New Jersey. We started on radio there, I think, for the first time. Am I correct?
Yeah, it was in Zarephath, New Jersey, that you and I were first and on the air, and that was 28 years ago. We were just married, and we were traveling to where I was born and raised. I was born and raised right across the river in Jersey City. And I know New York pretty much like the back of my hand at this point, and I know a lot of people here that are good people. And I have for the years taken our grandsons, the last two of them, to New York, and now 12-year-old Caden is going with me. And we also had a radio station in Utica, New York, which was more north. And but I'm thinking New York City at this moment to get our messages onto their AM, FM radio stations or some other mechanism, I'm not sure.
Well, surely you are in the heart of Babylon. And if you see this, was a woman riding the beast in a vision of any sort, please let us know about it. You may even see that as a vision. But there is so much going on right now, even around the world and in the heart of Babylon, and we see the very real threat of ISIS, and I know that it is in New York City also. We see Russia attacking our infrastructure, and we see the possibility of a nuclear Iran. I mean, they're talking heavy about that right this moment, and there are many reasons to be concerned about the world situation also. So how can we be people of hope? Given what's happening in the world today, we have to be. Our hope does not rest in Washington, D.C. You know that. Our hope is not found in any politician. So we have to have hope. And I want to have that more than anything now, and I hope you do also. There's hope again. But, you know, there's something the psalmist said, and it was this. Now, Lord, for what do I wait? What are we waiting for? My hope is in you. That's in Psalms 39:7. And our hope is in the everlasting God. And that contains one of the most beautiful benedictions found in all Scripture. Now may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit right now. We need it more than we ever have. And may the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you as you walk through New York City and you discern the things that are around and about you for the hour in which we're in, because you're going to come back with information we all need. I know you're there for a purpose, and I know my grandson's there for a purpose, who I'm very proud of, that he is there with you, enjoying the time that it has to offer, and yet the discernment that we need at this moment.
Well, absolutely, Patricia, but I'm going to have to disconnect for about 10 minutes. You're going to have to carry the broadcast right now. I want to tell everybody that there were probably 10 people were on this flight. It was like having a personal jet, and we didn't even have to buy it for $54 million. But praise God. Love everybody. We'll talk to you in a little bit. I'll be listening, but we've got to go right now, so continue on.
Well, here I am, not expecting to do this, but may the Lord help me in this, because we're always to be ready. One way or another, we are always to be ready. So I'm going to make myself ready. Everyone who asks me, what is going on at this time, I have to give an account for the hope that is in me. And Christians everywhere ought to be hopeful, optimistic people. We ought to be overflowing with hope. My question to you is, are you filled with hope? And if you are, I praise God for it, because you understand that this is necessary. Please do not have hope deferred within your heart at these times we're in, because hope deferred makes your heart sick. And if you wonder why many are having trouble with their hearts in this day and age, it's because hope has been deferred. It's been deferred through stress. It's been deferred through hurt and pain. There are so many things that have hurt our hearts, and we must be able to stand in these wicked days, because people who know their God will display strength. They will take action. And God has called us not just to understand the times, but we need to do something, body of Christ. We need to rise up as this army I have been speaking of. And the Bible says we are to be people of courage. We have to have courage. If you don't have courage, if you're afraid, you're in the wrong mode of Christianity. What you need to do is say, Lord, give me courage at this moment to continue, to go on, to understand, and then thrill me with your Holy Spirit of joy and peace and laughter, which is needed in this moment more than any other time. God wants us to be fearless as we stand before him. Are you ready to stand for him, before him? Am I, regardless of what's coming down? Because persecution is coming, and we're already seeing it in this country. We're seeing it among our peoples with the division between right and wrong, good and evil. We are seeing it, so get ready for it. But most Christians aren't, and this is my concern. If they hear the possibility of suffering or persecution, like I said earlier, they'll just run out of the church. And the Lord Jesus said that we need to be ready in the times we're in. So how are you today? How do you feel about the things that are going on? I'd like to know. I'd like to hear from you. We are living in the last days, and we are people that are part of the last days. And this is not coincidence, by the way, if you are. This has happened because God has ordained you to be alive at these times. And I'm telling you, there is proof, folks. There is real proof that we are in the last days. You could read one scripture after another that tells you the events that are happening that have already been prophesied. And it is incredible, too, to know these things. You know, people of today become obsessed with the Bible mysteries and prophecies in a way in which sometimes they misuse it. But we cannot misuse prophecy. We have to understand it. We have to know it. We have to be disciples, because no one knows the hour or the day of the Lord's coming. And his coming is right at hand. The thing is, are you prepared? Am I prepared? Are we in hope? We believe we are in the midst of the last days right now. And there are so many indications to tell you that. For instance, restored Israel is one of them. And if you haven't heard about that as a prophetic knowledge that we know, then you need to know. Restored Israel is one of the prophetic words that says we're in the last days according to scripture. And then Israel, surrounded by conflict and the rise of global anti-Semitism, is another prophetic word in the Bible regarding the times we're in. And then the gathering of the Jewish people physically back to the land of Israel from the four corners of the earth, like what has already happened, is another prophetic utterance of truth. And the gospel is proclaimed to the nations. The gospel has been proclaimed by TV, by means of missionaries all over the nation. And this is another end time prophetic utterance that we are in the last days. And the blindness is coming off the eyes of the Jewish people. They're beginning to understand that Christ is the true Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach is the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. And then there's going to be a visible remnant of Jewish believers. There are signs all around us. Are we looking at the signs? Are we reading the Bible? Are we beginning to understand the times in which we are in? Body of Christ, there's nothing more important right now. We are living in the last days. And we have to understand what they're all about. We have to understand that it is not just an accident that we are alive. God calls his church in every generation, but this is one in which you're living in. And we're to live in light of this remarkable truth. The prophetic is true. It is being fulfilled at this very moment. Nothing now stands in the way of Jesus' return. Do you understand that? Do you know that? After his perfect life, sacrificial death for us, resurrection from the grave, as my husband has been ministering, the resurrection, there is no true Christianity without the resurrection. It's another thing we must grab hold of, the resurrection from the grave, an ascension to heaven to pour out his spirit on his church. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the most incredible spiritual awakening that has ever been from the foundation of the earth. And the next major movement in the history of the world is the second coming of Christ. That's why we're speaking of the prophetic interpretations for the times we're in. And so the second coming of Jesus is very important, because in the church age, we Christians have no definite, unfulfilled list of events which must transpire before his return, except the tribulation in which we are now entering in. I believe we have already entered into the tribulation. And what the Bible promises will happen at the end is already happening in significant measure. It is prophetic and it's being revealed. And it's being revealed by watching around the world today. It has been happening in some sense since the earliest days of the church, but now it's mounting, getting greater, more profound. And as long as Jesus has not yet returned, as long as he tarries, we have the concrete directness of the church age to continue pursuing. We have directives in the Word of God that we should continue to pursue and evangelize the nations. Talk to your neighbor. Talk to those that are around about you. Talk to someone when you go shopping. If you feel you can't do it, just say, Lord, lead me and guide me to the right person to minister Christ to them, because this is something that God told us we should be doing. And the hastening of his coming through holy living and through evangelizing. I once realized that if I ask the Lord about a certain individual that I have witnessed while shopping or going about my business during the day, somebody came on my heart as I viewed them, I said, Lord, give me something about them that I could not know, that when I approach them to tell them about Jesus Christ, they will be alerted to the fact that there's no way I could know, and they would be open to listen to the word of Jesus and to become part of his holy living today. And you know what, body of Christ? It works. If you're concerned about talking to anybody at all about evangelizing, he will lead you. He will guide you. All you need to do is have faith in him, not in yourself. It is not your own ability. It is having faith in him. So, you know, as far as his coming, the next big thing could happen at any moment. we're going through the tribulation quickly now. And that's what the New Testament means when it says his return is near. And so, again, the end is at hand. And scriptures verify that fact. It is at hand literally. It's drawing near literally. In Romans 13:12, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. The times of ignorance, as he said in Athens, the dark season of human history now has passed with the coming of Christ. And the previous statement clarifies the context. You know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep, body of Christ. And for those who are listening who have not received Christ as their personal Savior, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The day of Christ is coming. Paul says, has dawn arrived? And it has. The nearness of him is so, so true. So what else are we to do? Well, Hebrews 10:24-25 says, not to neglect, and listen to me, please, carefully. Those who are listening need to get this into your spirit, because so many have done the opposite. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, not to neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Too many are not connected. Too many are out there on their own. That's why they do not understand the times we're in. You need to connect into the body of Christ. You need to connect into the church of Christ. And by this, he does not mean, as is often misunderstood, get more serious about Christian fellowship sometime in the future. When you see the signs of the end begin to appear, what Paul is saying to the readers is living in the end times, that the signs of the end aren't off in the future. They are already happening now. Get this into your heart. They are already happening now. And all the more, now because they already see the day drawing near, we're seeing it. We're hearing it. It is happening. And as we see, it is plainly said in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, Christians are living in the last days. That's why we're becoming more aware. There's the scripture, too, in 1 Peter 4:7 that writes it this way, the end of all things is at hand. Some have wondered whether Paul and Hebrews were referring to the coming destruction of Jerusalem, which happened in 70 AD. And as the day that was, the day drawing near. But such alternative theories hit the wall here. Peter says very simply, the end of all things is near. Even if Peter wrote this letter only to Jewish converts, it would be special pleading to take the end of all things as simply now. So James says in the book, in the Bible, plainly, unmistakably, in 5:8, the coming of the Lord is at hand. Jesus' return is near. And that's what James, Apostle Peter in Hebrews, and Paul believed. They all believe this, that where we are right now is the time of the end. And what the faithful church has lived in light of the 2,000 years and what we should believe and be ready for today. Well, with all this said, what do we do? What are the facts for the last 2,000 years? Could Jesus come back today? Well, I believe he can, only when we go through the tribulation. And this is a great question for many. Will we be resurrected before the tribulation or after the tribulation? Well, I believe it's very clear in Matthew 24 that it will be after the tribulation, because Jesus Christ, talking to the apostles, explains all the details of what will happen in the last days. And then he talks about the tribulation to come. And then after that, he talks about, and then will the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ be. So are we living in the end times? Yes. Have we begun in the tribulation? I believe we have. So this is a lifetime experience. This is something that no other Christian on earth have ever experienced or will ever experience. But what about the nearness of time? Again, how should we be? And how should we conceive it? Are we to be ready? Are we concerned enough? You know, in Acts 2:17, Jesus has ascended to heaven and poured out his spirit on his church. And Peter declares that the last days prophecy from Joel 2 is being fulfilled in their midst. In the last days it shall be. God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. If you haven't had the Holy Spirit poured out on you, it is this time that you should lift up your hands unto the Lord and say, pour out your Holy Spirit upon me, dear God. Dear Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Overflow. Pour out your Holy Spirit on my flesh, in my spirit, in my body, in my mind, in my soul. It is time. It is time to be filled. Because 2 Timothy 3:1 says, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. And the times of difficulty he refers to were already happening for his readers, but it also is now. And he was saying, in effect, don't be surprised that life is tough. These are the last days. Remember. And in 2 Peter 3:3 makes a similar assumption. It gives a similar reminder that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing. And they will, and we have heard it time and time again, following their own sinful desires is the reason for it. They don't want to believe it. They want to stay in their own sinful desires, but they will scoff and they'll say, everybody's been saying he's coming, but where is he? He's at the door, folks. We're going through this tribulation, and then he's here, and you only have a number of years before this happens. It's at the door. And for Peter's readers, you know, that read the Bible, or for us who minister this, there are scoffers. And Peter said in the Bible that these scoffers aren't future, they are here now, and we are living in the last days. You know, the Apostle James was also involved and denounces the unbelieving rich. And we know today there's many people who are rich, much more so than has ever been in this nation or in the world. And he says, you have laid up treasure in the last days. James 5:3 says to his readers, we today are already in the last days. This is again prophetic. And those who lay up earthly treasures now do so tragically in this final season of history before Jesus returns. And I think one of the most prominent of all and unmistakable is the first two verses of Hebrews. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And he still is, body of Christ, spoke. He still is. Get to know your Bible. Get to understand your Bible. It tells it all. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son in the New Testament. And the first coming of Christ ushered in the final season of world history, these last days, and his second coming. coming is the next major step in history, and you are living in it. You are alive in it. You are privileged in it. And unlike many other systems or beliefs around the world, I mean the major ones, Jews and Christians view history as truth. And we do. We know that these prophetic words are true. We've learned it because we have lived it in our own life. And history is God's story. It isn't, you know, Aristotle, Socrates, or Plato's story. History is God's story, and it is going somewhere right now. And it had a beginning, and it will have an end. There were first days, there were the days of the Patriots, and many seasons, so many ups and downs in the history of Israel also, and there were 400 years of prophetic silence, and then the days Jesus walked the earth, and history is now being exposed to be true of what was prophesied. It has a beginning, and it has an end. We have been living in the last days. We don't know how long this present season of history will last. I think just a number of years. It has been almost 2,000 years so far, but we have entered into the last of years. But we don't know that this present season of history, which began with the early church, is the last one until Jesus comes. But we sense it in prophecy. It is there in prophecy. And so we need to understand prophecy. We need the prophetic revealed to us. And the Bible says in the last days, mysteries will be revealed. And that means the prophetic word in Scripture. So the next big step is that Jesus is coming back. And that's what the New Testament means when he says his return is near or at hand. Scripture is being fulfilled. Prophetically, it is being fulfilled. So here we are, body of Christ, again. How shall we then be? We need to be prayer warriors. We need to be people who are anticipating the coming of the Lord, and we have to live in the light of it, which means we have to have the Holy Spirit revelation within us. We are lit up inside. We understand things. We have clarity of mind. The coming of Christ is near. This is what is taught in Scripture. We are living in the last days. How then do you feel about this? What does your heart say? What does your heart know? For the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet is standing in the holy place, taking position now. Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, babe, I am here, and I just want you to know they will not be able to call in because you're not in front of the screen. So we don't have any way of taking a call unless, hold on 1 second, let me see real quick if anybody is trying to call in. Hold on. Let's go take a peek, a sneak peek. No, I don't see anybody wanting to call in at the moment, so I do have a couple of calls. Hold on 1 second, let me bring them on. And the first call we're going to bring in is our dear friends from South Dakota. So, Patricia, go ahead and take that call right now. Say hello to Kathy.
Hello, Kathy. How are you?
Oh, just fine, Patricia. Yeah, you're doing a good job here listening to you this morning. And I was just going to make a comment here about Matthew 24. And, in the Bible, like it says there in the 22nd verse, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And I do definitely see what you're bringing out and what Vincent in the past has brought out on the Omega radio station about how the signs are here. War is evident. on our soil. You can see the signs, and if you watch any of the news media, and that you can hear what they're saying. So that's another sign. And then my question is this too. All right, there's tares and wheat. Okay, before the second coming of Jesus Christ, God's going to gather the tares, and they will be burned up. And we are seeing a lot of things exposed now, and it's evil that people have been doing. So all this has got to fit in to the scripture before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I believe that God is going to judge all these things that are evil before he comes back. What is your opinion on that according to scripture?
Well, that is so very true what you're saying, because everything that must be shaken will be shaken. And evil is going to be exposed in the shaking, and the division is going to come and be clarified. But it's going to start in the house of God. And this is where the confusion really is, because if we were strong, united in the power of the Holy Spirit, in truth, we would have a country that is unmovable, one we used to have, because we understood the things of Christ and we understood the righteousness of Christ. Today, there is confusion within the church because of the ministers that are teaching half-truths and not the full understanding of the Bible. So we have tares in the church also. This is going to bring a division first in the church. Those who are not true Christians, but Christians in name alone, that do things that are wrong and have not changed, have not repented, not desired to because of the desires of their own heart, will be taken away if they don't change their manners and get into the profound of Jesus Christ and what he has called us to be transformed into his image. Then, in the world, the shaking comes also. And that division is going to happen between those who have just found Christ and those who have not. They haven't had opportunity yet to be in the church, to be grown up within the church in wisdom. They're baby Christians, but they're going to be torn from those that are deceptive. And the shaking is coming, and it's coming big time. But we must know the truth. We cannot be deceived in this time we're in, whether we're in the church or outside of the church. We must know the truth, and the truth will set us free. But it has to be with the prophetic, with the wisdom of the knowledge of the Bible, and with the Holy Spirit working in us. Do you believe that to be true, Kathy?
Yes, I do. And when you read, like you're bringing out, the chapter 24 of Matthew, in the very end, it tells exactly what's going to happen with people that fall away from Christ. And because it says there in the 48th verse, it says, "But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That is what we are seeing. People have gotten off in the real truth of the gospel of Jesus, and evil has taken over in their hearts instead of godly righteousness, and that is what's going to count in this day. Righteousness.
Amen. You couldn't be more right about righteousness, because it won't be our righteousness. It will be the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and only his, because he is the King of all kings and the King of glory, and he has absolute perfect right. I'm getting some interference on the radio here.
Well, that's just me, babe.
Hello?
I think you had a great call. Yeah, that's hold on 1 second. We've got another call coming in. So if you'll just hold on 1 second, I'm going to bring in area code 479-855 to the program. Go ahead, Patricia, take that call.
Hello, may I help you?
You sure can, my dear pastor. Bless you.
Thank you.
Doing a good job.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you know, Pastor, the one thing that Pastor Vincent and I have talked about many times before, too, a lot of people hearing this message are probably saying, well, yeah, it could be, and then they just forget all about it. The biggest problem that we have had in the church for many, many years is procrastination. Well, yeah, I believe it's going to be happening, but I don't know when, so I'll just sit tight and see what happens. And that typically is the problem that we are facing in the church today, is that people know deep down in their spirit that it is probably beginning to happen, or at least happening, and not doing anything about it. They really need to come before the Lord and find out, Lord, what can I do to prepare? How do I prepare? How do I help others? How do I help myself? How do I help my family? How do I do all these things to begin to prepare for what is coming down? And as I said to Pastor a number of times before, there is no problem preparing, even if it didn't happen, because you're drawing yourself closer and closer to the Lord the whole time, preparing for what's coming down, just like Kathy was saying on there. When the end comes upon us too quickly, we're in trouble. I'll go ahead and let you comment on that.
That could not be more true, Pastor Ken. I agree with you totally and completely, because some will be much stronger than others. And we can all have the same strength if we would just have faith. You know, we could hear things and then walk away from it. And what you're saying is the trials of our day, the things that we need to be involved with and to do, take us away from the very essence of the times in which we're in to recall how we should be. And that we're being distracted. And this distraction causes problems within every Christian I know, and individuals also who know these things, but they're being distracted in many ways. And what could the devil do better in this time in which we're in than to distract us? I mean, that would be a real work of deception if nothing else was being done. And so we have to be aware. We have to be on our toes. We have to be warriors. You know, you were in the army, and I know that you were taught that you had to be aware of the coming enemy. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am. You know, Satan knows all of our weaknesses, and he knows one of the greatest ones is to just kind of sit back and teaches us how to procrastinate and not do the things that we need to go ahead and do. And that's been the problem with the church for centuries. It's often called the silent majority, whereas there are more Christians, I believe, in the nation than there are heretics or non-believers. And I believe if the church was to rise up and do what they were supposed to go ahead and do, things would change dramatically. In the Old Testament, God proclaimed mayhem for different nations, and the kings proclaimed a fast. And they fasted, and God relented on what he was beginning to go ahead and do, and he forestalled it. That's because the Christians rose up and did what was necessary to appease God in that situation and to come out of their sin and the things that they were doing. It could happen the same way today. And I would like to see that happen, in as much as that people then would be able to have a chance to come to the Lord and repent for all the things they have done or the things they have not done and become one with him. And that's something that we have to get that message out, and I'm glad you guys continue to bring it up, because it's something of extreme importance, especially for those people that are sitting on the fence and not doing what they're supposed to do.
Absolutely true. Amen and amen. The encouragement, encouraging one another as the times we are in, as we still have moments to breathe. That's why I say every time I get on radio, we have one more day to get it right. But we do need to encourage one another. We need to encourage one another to get more serious about the things that are within our own hearts, to really, truly search them and repent where there needs to be repentance. And then the Lord gives us a commandment. He says to love one another. And then he tells us also first to love him with all our heart, all our soul. Well, how could we do that if we are distracted about so many things on a daily basis, going to the stores, shopping, doing this, doing that? What we could do is what Paul did. He said, I pray consistently. I'm in prayer. My very breath is in prayer. All day long, he has prayer within his heart. As you go along your business, you don't consider things as just you doing it. You consider Christ with you doing it. You consider the Holy Spirit moving in you, working with you, showing you and guiding you and directing you. You don't get caught up into your own mental thoughts, but recall the Word of God for every decision you're making moment to moment. You know, I often ministered at roundtable discussion and in deliverance that one of the ways the enemy gets us is when we are not concentrated on him but on something else. For instance, I could be washing the dishes and just going along my business, and then my mind starts to travel, and it starts to think about all the things that I have to do or has been done that I'm not happy about, and this person or that person that needs this or that, and various other concerns. And then you don't realize that it happens when you're driving also. You're in the muck of it, and you're not even aware that you're in the muck of it. But it is working against you. The enemy is working against you, stealing your time, stealing your thoughts, stealing even your memories. And so what do? We consider every moment as precious. Could we do this? We could. We can make a decision to do it. Every moment as precious, let the Holy Spirit work through us, move through us, and guide our thoughts. When we have thoughts about somebody and they're not happy thoughts, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to handle this? And please bless them in this area. If we need to clean the house, we do it with joy and happiness because God gave it to us. It's always being with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Patricia, you have done a magnificent job this morning, just on the fly by the Holy Spirit once again, how your life goes. The thing that I would like to close out the broadcast with at the moment is to answer your question. You know, who are you living for? You know, we're here, there's 16 million people in New York City, and, you know, labor is the big thing. But I go back to the Tower of Babel, and the citizens of Babylon were building the empire for others. And the big question is, who are you building for? Who are you living for? You know, God's people have always walked through Babylon. Peter wrote to the saints in Babylon. And it's always about what kingdom you're building. If you're building the kingdom of man, if you're building things and you're part of it, of the system of the world that's being built, you're a citizen, you're a good citizen, you work, you get a paycheck, but you're still a builder of Babylon. So for the saints of God, build for the kingdom. Use your life, your energy, your resources to build the kingdom. And so that's where I'm going to leave it for now. I can't wait. Tomorrow I'll have Daniel Second with us on the air. And Patricia, in about 1 minute, there will be an opportunity for people to go to omegaradio.org, and they will be able to listen to 24/7 radio programs that have been specifically designed for their preparation. And I hope that that's the case as people go forward. I've got to run, Patricia Joy, and I'm going to say goodbye to our listeners. And go ahead and take it away with 30 seconds. Say goodbye to everyone, Patricia.
Well, thank you, honey. Thank you for having me. I want to say just one more thing before closing. Approximately a fourth of Bible is prophetic in nature, and most of this material is profoundly connected to world-changing events. So please be absolutely involved in your word, in the Bible, for the times in which we're in.
Okay, gotta go. God bless everybody. Shalom.
God
talk
bless
to you soon.
You.